with the sutra, with the introductory prayers. I already made prostrations before we started. I saw everybody did too. So let's just get started with the introductory prayers. Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge. Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain together with a great gathering, the Sangha of Monks, and a great gathering, the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called Profound Illumination, and at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita, is seen in this way. Seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness. Emptiness also is form. Emptiness is no other than form. Form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics. There is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye, datu, up to no mind, datu, no datu of dharmas, no mind, consciousness, datu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance, up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times, by means of Prajnaparamita, fully awaken to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering, should be known as truth, since there is no deception. The Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way, Teata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangati Bodhisoha. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family. Thus it is, O son of noble family, thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Kalanjumene chodambane moshu dujung ahi dudu jendru babu lama yi vujin yene zong anru zola ya zelu. Agasumara Dashandara Samara Vedeata Honga Dekate Paragate Parasangati Bodhiso Baba Gonju Sanji Gaye Dembe Doji She Bodoji Mepo Doji She Wadoji Dragi Vaji Meta Vesha Danji Shedinga Yezo Gere Nunja Yejo Je Wada Medo No Bejen Dande Wada Mumba Donji Bonzon Donjo Ji Daji Deja. And the fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. Namo Buddhaya. I send forth this jewel mandala to you, precious Guru. Idam Guru Radha Mandala Gandhi Rata Yami Sanye Jana Jana Jandu Badu Dani Jazuji Dagi Chinye Jibe Zananji Rala Benji Zanje Jubayo Okay, so today Rinpoche will be giving the transmission of the 35 Buddhas of Confession. And we find a lot of times Rinpoche is taught that in union with the four opponent powers, because it has such a powerful aspect of purification that a lot of times when you're doing the four opponent powers of regret, commitment, antidote, and basis, it's used as the antidote section because of the power of it. We can find within the commentaries that it says that the first line, even Buddha Shakyamuni's prostration, when we find he's the first among the 35 Buddhas that we pay homage to in this prayer, it says in some commentaries, 40,000 eons of negative karma is wiped away just in that one recitation, just in reciting that one homage. And then even there's other commentaries that say as much as 60,000, but the general commentary we find is 40,000 eons, and not days, not weeks, years, eons, purification. And then the others follow with 10,000 and, you know, thousands and thousands. So when you get through with the prayer, you've purified an enormous amount of negativity. And if you do that in relation to your confession, your acknowledgement, your wish to not engage in those negativities again, because you regret them and making commitments of a period of time not to engage in those. And then the power of the antidote, applying such a practice as the 35 Buddhas, and then the power of reliance or basis, where we rely on refuge. And then because most of our non-virtue is in relation to harming others, bodhicitta, and generating compassion. So we see that as a full practice, and this enables us to have the transmission. Then yepo dorje, then yamdu, yapu do. Rinpoche said that, yeah, that advice is very good. Rinpoche said that when he was in Lhasa, in Drepung Losa Ling, he received this transmission from the Dalai Lama in a collection of texts, and this was within the collection of collected works that he received the transmission of. So, Lhasa Drepung, Chu Lo Juji. Maybe like around, he's in his teens area, maybe. We're just trying to figure out how old. He said, I don't know how old I was. Irrelevant, I guess. Okay, so now I will give you the transmission of the 35 Buddhas. The Sutra of the Three Heaps is really what at the end it says. This is the because there's the different heaps of the prayer itself. With Bodhisattva Confession of Downfalls, the Sutra of the Three Heaps. Now, what page is this on? I was just asked. And it's on page 43 in our prayer book. I don't think I have, oh, I do. Yeah, 43 in our prayer book, the Confession of Downfalls to the 35 Buddhas. And then we see the full prayer with the confession and so forth there. So we have, okay, so I'll just move on. Disarm ship. So the three heaps are the Yajasuna Tambo. So we have the three heaps are the heap of prayer or purification, the prayer, the prostration, the heap of confession, the heap of rejoicing. So why is it important to engage in the prayer of the confession of downfalls? It's important because it allows us to purify non-virtue. Why do we want to purify non-virtue? Non-virtue leads to suffering. So if we don't purify non-virtue that we have committed, it will lead to our future suffering. Likewise, any virtue that we create leads to our future happiness. So it is the non-virtue that we want to get rid of because we want to have happiness and we want to be free from suffering. So it's for that reason that it's important to engage in purification. And the 35 Buddhas, the confession of downfalls, is a very powerful practice that allows for a large amounts of purification of misdeeds to take place. And it's for that reason it's important to engage in this prayer. So I remember the first thing that my teacher taught me was the 35 Buddhas. In Kam Gigan, when he was a little child. The first text that he went over was this text. It was the first one he ever read with his teacher. So his teacher did this prayer every single day. So then therefore I do it every day, the acknowledgement of confession of downfalls as well. Because when we recite this prayer of the acknowledgement of downfalls, we purify so much non-virtue, so many misdeeds. So by making homage, you're paying homage to the 35 Buddhas, for instance, the homage section, where we pay homage to the conqueror Tathagata Arhat Buddha, we see that kalpas, tens of thousands of kalpas of purification take place by reciting lines such as these in the 35 Buddhas. So it's very important to do dedication. So it's very important that we recognize the importance of dedication. So making a proper dedication at the end of prayer is important because the Buddha said that if one dedicates any virtue towards enlightenment, towards becoming a Buddha, then just like if you were to put a drop of water from a bucket in the ocean, that water wouldn't be extinguished until the entire ocean was extinguished. Likewise, that virtue that's dedicated to enlightenment would remain until it becomes the cause for that enlightenment. So meaning that if we don't dedicate virtue, it just leads to happiness. And that happiness isn't necessarily the one we ultimately want. It may just be a sunny day in samsara. So it's important that we direct our virtues that we create towards what we want them to create. So it's like that, you know, setting our motivation at Buddhahood so that those virtues we create cause that. So we're in control. It's like everyone says, well, do you have any independence? Well, we're in control at this moment in some ways, right? Because we can create our own future and we know how to, the Buddha told us. So that's what's really interesting about Buddhism is that, you know, there's that thing, the secret I've heard about. And I, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought it was so silly. But then when you start to apply Madhyamaka and dedication and things like that to it, you could see how putting something out there and motivating towards something actually has some power. Now, I'm not advocating that we get into, you know, something other than Buddhism. I'm just saying that we can see how energy that's dedicated towards something can create really powerful results. You can see how a lot of traditions have borrowed from Buddhism, but the only one that doesn't end up logically falling on its face to what we can find to this point is the Madhyamaka Prasangika philosophy that Buddha presented us with, that Rinpoche is considered one of the greatest scholars to be living on. So we're so fortunate to have received our teachings on emptiness from someone like Rinpoche. So let's do questions. Any questions? Or just whatever's. And then I just have to make a general announcement, but we'll make sure that the teaching part's done first. Stasha has a question, Rinpoche said. Oh, we have to turn the thing to the view, speaker view. Preta is the hungry ghost. Yeah, Preta is a hungry ghost. Lori was asking what Preta, that's the hungry ghost, I think. Hey, Terry. Okay, so who has a question? So we have the speaker view on now. So whoever the last person who spoke was. Okay, so I guess if you talk, I'll stop talking. I think that's causing the problem.
Okay.
Terry, you have a question? No. Click on Sasha.
Hi.
Okay.
Pasilele to Chenna for the transmission. And Jeff, thank you very much.
Yep.
My question is about, in the text, I see the words pledges, commitments, and vows. I think there's a clear definition for me what vows are, and like pledges and commitments seems like it could be interchangeable. I'm not sure. But I think what my biggest concern is, a long time ago, and we can speak about this at a different time if it's not appropriate, but when I went to the Kala Chakra initiation, I made a specific commitment to say 10 Kala Chakra mantras per day. And I didn't keep up with that. And so I'm hoping that if I continue to say the 35 Buddhas, that will help purify that non-virtue of not keeping up with that commitment. And then going forward, if I try again, is that okay? Or is there something I need to do other than that?
Okay. Rinpoche, the Nama Kon Dukor Wang Nang Yurek. The lo ka sheng ama jiao rinpoche kon la nao so nene the kon triwa the nene the wong sash then kon the molan ja so na nima dak pash the dukor zonga ju dangare yene kon dang ma so lo ka she dang ma so the kon dukor zonga dang ma so then kon sampa the kon shegudu kon gangisine kon kelenson na nima dakpar the zonga ju dangare then kelenson yene dangmason
then con shegudu deepa sarudu nene de tonsha dana deepa da tugudu nene jenda gari pentogudu nepo the stasha the nima dakpar domason nepo gari akshu So Rinpoche, I said, what would be the best antidote to, I didn't ask about the difference between commitments and vows yet. I just gave the scenario of the Kala Chakra and the commitment and asked, you know, what would be the best antidote for such a thing. I first said, is the 35 Buddhas appropriate for such infraction? And he said, yes. And then I said, what would be the best antidote? So I said, you know, could there be something different that would be better? And he said that the 35 Buddhas done repeatedly as an opponent to that would be appropriate. Then the Yanjer Nima Dakpar Don Digurve. So, but also uniting this with the recognition of emptiness. So, because meditating on emptiness purifies a large amount of misdeed. So recognizing that the action and the agent of an object of this recitation are empty, you know, of true existence. So because that's cutting at the core of what causes all negativity, it serves a really powerful opponent if it put in union with other powerful opponents. So Rinpoche said you could apply both of those antidotes. And Rinpoche, Dansik, Dan Domba, Chapagare. Dansik, the Nga, the Kelen, Nga, Nima Dakpar, the Zongadu, the Dansiyan. Okay, so I said, so would saying I'm going to do 10 Kala Chakra, he's a real pip sometimes, saying that I'm going to do 10 Kala Chakra mantras a day would be a commitment. So when there's Damsik and Domba, there's commitments and vows. I don't know what this commitments, pledges, vows. I think commitments and pledges might be the same thing. But there's Dansik and Domba. Dansik is more of a commitment. You know, you make a commitment. Then there's other things that even in like the Action Tantra, there's commitments that aren't vows because you only have the vows in highest yoga tantra. So they're commitments. And then Domba, which is vow or specific vows, bodhisattva vow, tantric vow, or individual liberation vows.
I'm sorry, may I just clarify on page 44 in the source of all my good. I mean, I'm sorry, 41, the source of all my good, when it says yes. to keep my pledges and my vows most pure. That,
yes.
Pledges is the same as commitments.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. To Chana Rinpoche.
Hey,
yeah, it says right in the Tibetan, by the way, Dansi Dombar. So, yes.
Jeff, can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I can see you, like you're on a screen this big right now. We know okay. Who you are.
Okay. Okay. So, first, I just wanted to thank you and Rinpoche, because you've been translating to Rinpoche. He's blessed my family. I'm full of gratitude for that because, you know, thank you. I love you, Rinpoche. I love you, Jeff. And I just want to also ask about the alcohol. I think I remember you mentioning once that the Buddha said if you drink a drop.
Yeah, hold on one second. Oh. I'm just reminding him now that the connection's here.
Yeah.
For the pictures.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you, Rinpoche. Love you. Love Jeff. And but can you tell me a little bit more about like some? I've been like craving to have a beer. And
sure.
Can you give me some advice about what the Buddha would say about that? I suppose. Or like, yeah. You know,
Rinpoche, con Chiwa de Chang. Chantong Triwa. Ganges in the Sanje, Sumpere, the Sa, Ara Ganla, the Chi, Tona, Chang, not get to your mother, Lapsma. Then, Yene, Con Chang, Tungu, Lapcha, Yerbe, Chang, Shedo, Yabi, or Maribe. So, Rinpoche's advice is if you have to drink, right? Because a lot of Tibetans drink, you know, they do. I mean, when you get together, you see it. Ted, he will confirm. It's not something that, you know, as Buddhists, we're all trying to do the best that we can. And obviously the Buddha did say, as much alcohol as fits on a blade of grass, don't call yourself my student. Because of the stories that were told in scripture is that the alcohol would lead to all the non-virtues. So the reasoning is, isn't that, oh, alcohol's bad because it's bad. It's because of what alcohol does changes you and then can lead you to do things that you shouldn't. So I tell one quick story, the Rinpoche used real fast. I don't want to try to drag it out. So there's a story of a man who's in a cave meditating. And there's a woman who comes every day. You can switch roles. It doesn't matter. There's a woman in a cave meditating, a man who comes every day to make offerings. She becomes very attached, or he becomes very attached, however you want to gender role this, to the person in the cave, and shows up one day because they want to now be, you know, partner with this person, and says that I've brought a goat and I'm giving you some choices today, my teacher. Either you can kill this goat, and then shows the goat, and then she shows a bottle of alcohol. You can drink this alcohol, or you can, you know, have relations with me. So then the story goes on that the monk goes into contemplation and says that my root vows say I can't kill and I can't engage in sexual contact. The fifth vow of not drinking alcohol is not a root vow, it's a secondary. So that makes the most sense. So the story goes that he then drank the whole bottle of alcohol, killed the goat, and then had sex with the person. So it shows how the alcohol leads to the other negativities. So anyway, that's the story about alcohol. But Rinpoche said, if you have to drink, you know, if you know whatever that means, then to drink a small amount, not to drink large amounts, to drink a small amount. So Buddha said that if you drink alcohol, you'll be born in hell. So if you drink it all the time, you'll be born in hell, something to this effect. So be careful. I had never heard that before. He said, why not just drink some tea? That's fine. And eat something else. Eat something different. You could drink ghee, maybe. I don't know. Tibetans love to throw butter in anything. Like, just drink it. It's good. It'd be awesome. It'll work out. Just drink. Listen, if you're craving alcohol, get a stick of butter, boil it, and drink it. Today's lesson.
Jeff, Dan's got a question.
Sure, of course. We've never seen Dan on the big screen.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dan. Dan Guitar. Just so you know, your Dan Guitar around these parts.
Oh, I'm so thankful for that. So Rinpoche, thank you so much for teaching, and Jeff, thank you for translating. My question is, recently I've been dealing with a lot of kind of like spiritual negative energies, and I was just wondering what Rinpoche would recommend that I do as a practice that might help purify.
The Tengsan, the Kon Chiwa, the Tengsan, Kon Gong Kali Kapu Du, then Kon the Barche, Dandrapo Yure. The consem cheapo yomare, barche the yure. Then the lapcha yurbe. the Khandre, the Chipocha. Khandre. The Sam, Barche, Mambo Yuna, the Gariakshu, Nipo Gariakshu. Share Nipo doing Gari. So Rinpoche's first said, I tried to explain it, you know. I said, you know, the mind isn't at peace, there's obstacles. Meditation is difficult, you know, to try to explain what you're saying so that I can get the appropriate answer for you.
Yeah.
And he said, first of all, the first thing he said in non-spiritual terms, he answered in non-spiritual terms first. And then I asked him to answer it spiritually. He said, you know what can make you happy, what makes you feel good. And you should do some of that. Like, you know, whether, for example, he meant like if you're taking a walk is something that feeds you, make sure that you're taking care of that. So each individual knows what makes them happy. So first and foremost, if you're having those obstacles. And secondly, from a spiritual perspective, meditating on bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to enlightenment and emptiness. So Rinpoche said that those are the spiritual antidotes and the conventional antidotes.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Dan. Oh, and Dan, we planted seeds yesterday. We have them in Rinpoche's window.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, yeah. We put hot peppers. We put tomatoes. We put lettuce. What do we? I don't know. Bunch of stuff. We got them in Rinpoche's window, and we're gonna, you know, move them in a weeks when they're after the first frost, as the directions say on the package.
Wonderful. Maybe
we're going to make a bigger garden this year, like one that like goes like just a bigger one. People will see it. We're going to figure that whole thing out.
That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, Jeff, John has a question and then Katie.
Right on.
Kashi delay, Rinpoche. Kashi delay.
He's always amazed that there they are. Hey, John.
Yes, I have a question, and it's about the hell worlds. In the sutra, I believe it has said that the hell worlds are created by beliefs or thoughts of living beings. It's not created by gods. It's not created to punish beings, but for us to learn what not to do. What if all living beings refuted the belief that there is a hell world? Would there still be a hell world if there was non-belief, absolute, total non-belief that it exists? Would it just not be there?
The conchua de semchen tamche ngawa mepa sanlo dana ngawa yomare semchen tamche ngawa yomare sanlo dana ngawa je tugudu ngawa yure ngawa yuba sema yimiche sema dene de senchen sem Nyawa mena sanu dana kanga semchen kanga sen mengawa mena sanu dana nyawa ji tugudu. So no, it wouldn't end the hell birth because hell is an actual place that is created by karma, just like this human realm is created by karma. Virtuous karma, but then the sufferings we have within it, non-virtuous karma. The hell realm is created by large amounts of non-virtuous karma, and the body that we take on, the throwing karma, the most non-virtuous karma we can have is the one that throws us to hell, and then the completing karma completes the details around it. So it says that even in hell, you may feel a cool breeze. There's some virtue in that cool breeze for the hell being. But all of the experiences that are created by our previous karma. And they're just varying levels and degrees of suffering and happiness based on the varying levels and degrees of virtue and non-virtue that we've previously created and conditionally manifest into at that time as an experience. Rinpoche, the Ngelwa, the Panjigile, Zujigile, then
no, the Chindi chungu yuwaris, chibidili nyawal chigiri, dhigi yedal chigiri, chungu dhuril chigiris. Gwa chindi chungu yuwari, chungu mal chigiri, dhigi lhama yil chigiri, chibidil hal chigiri.
So when we engage in virtue and non-virtue, those virtues and non-virtues that we create have degrees. So like when we do something wrong, there's degrees of the wrong that we did. The power of the basis. So for instance, the thing we do the wrong in relation to, has a large effect on the degree to which that degree to which it is that gives rise to a degree of suffering that's concordant. So Rinpoche just said this. So when we engage in virtue and non-virtue, there are degrees. The greatest degrees of non-virtue we create give rise to that hell experience. The medium degrees of non-virtue we create give rise to the hungry ghost experience or rebirth. And we can say experience because it's created by the mind, but Rinpoche said it's valid cognition. So it's a place that we are experiencing that's as real as the book that's here for us. And the table that's here for us, the fire in hell is as real for that being. They're not cognizing it incorrectly. It's not like, oh, well, they're cognizing it incorrectly. They're in fire because of the karma they have created. So the smallest degree of non-virtue creates a animal realm. Then when we look at virtue, the smallest degree of virtue creates a human realm. The medium degree of virtue creates the demigod, and the greatest degree of virtue creates the human realm. Now, this is just the table that shows how these things produce results. It doesn't mean that our goal then is to become a god. That just means in cyclic existence, that's the happiest you can get. And hell, in cyclic existence, that's the unhappiest you can get. And we're somewhere in the middle, and that's why it's a good place to practice Dharma. Because we aren't so plagued by happiness or suffering that we don't want to. We can see that there is happiness, so we're like, we like that better. And we can see there's unhappiness. We can say we don't like that. And then we have to just use our intellect and try to figure out then what do we have to do behaviorally to create what we like. So Buddha said this, so be careful.
Thank you, Rinpoche.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're doing circa like 99 right now. We're on fire. Who's next?
Katie's next, and then
topics.
Katie's next, and then Adrian.
Okay. Katie.
Toshi Dene Rinpoche. Thank you for the transmission, Rinpoche, of the 35 Buddhas of Confession. Thank you, Rinpoche, so much. Every day I try to say when I come home from work. And Jeff, thank you for translating again. Please stay on my crown always, Rinpoche, no matter what is going on. Sometimes high suffering is coming because of many people suffering and understand, okay? And I also pray for the people who suffer from a very strong addiction to heroin or cocaine because this must cause them almost to feel like they are going into like maybe hungry ghost realm or
God's realm
or God realm, like Nirvana. They just stay there. So like alcohol or any other addictive substance, they just enjoy that pleasure realm, demigod realm, God realm. I don't know, but so everything we have to take in context, I presume, but I would never argue with Buddha either. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes. Rinpoche. No, I was making a joke that for the person, they may feel like they're in the God's realm, you know, because of their clinging. I was just making a joke that didn't land. A lot of my jokes don't land, I find. But let me just translate. Rinpoche. Tutaji Rinpoche Nima Dakpa the Kedi Go Gangla Shurul Nam the Shela Jarul Nam Gangisina Sansan Shera Kali Kapudu then a con Nima Dakpa Sen Kamba Lena con Chungsha Dum then a con Molan Jaludu con Sampa the Tama Napo Tonken the heroin dan cocaine dan Tama Napo Tonken Chishina Shera Kali Kapudu Ara Tonken Kashera Kali Kapudu Dan Sunsan the Molan Jaludu Gangesine de Konsu de Ara Tonken, the Tamanapo Tonken, the Kon the Nyawa, Nyawa Dan Drapodu, Gangesine de Ara Zingdu, and Kon Molan Jagudu. It's very good. I put everything in that you said and translated it. So I make sure that I didn't convolute any of the teaching. The Buddha most definitely said that engaging in this lifetime, constant drinking, intoxicants and so forth leads to a hell realm rebirth. My joke was saying that in this life, they definitely addiction makes you feel trapped like you're a hungry ghost or in hell. But at times you can feel like you are a god. Delusion. You can have this delusion that you are. And that's the power of the substance, right?
Thank you, Rinpoche. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lori, for everything. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bless everybody. Bye-bye.
What do you think, Adrian? Is it Dootsie or is it not?
Hello, can you hear me?
I see Adrian, but you're not coming up. I don't have any.
Charlene has a question.
Oh, hey, Adrian. Adrian.
You did it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Okay, Charlene has a question. Hold on, it's not me.
Hi, thank you both. And I'm glad to see you looking well today.
Karen.
I was wondering, is there any difference for men and women? Are there any more obstructions to enlightenment for one or the other?
Rinpoche. What's the echoing?
What's the echoing?
Pudam pumo. Pudam pumo. Chapagare. Pumo. Barche moa yiribe. Pu. Barche moa yiribe. Chipa. Chipa yin. He says no, it's the same. Rinpoche says no difference, it's the same.
Thank you.
And I've also heard, you know, we always have to look at cultural, the times when things were presented in Buddhism. Because if the Buddha at a certain time, like 2,500 years ago, were to say, you know, men and women were equal, the people would have thought that he was crazy, right? Because culturally, that wasn't what one would present. So the Buddha's always teaching to the cultural time, as well as just making sure that it's directionally correct. And, you know, maybe culturally at that time, those extra pledges or whatever that were presented were necessary because of the culture. So we have to always make sure that we're recognizing what Buddha taught, and that's that all sentient beings have Buddha nature, and that the way we get to that is by bodhicitta and getting rid of the grasping at true establishment. So the Buddha said that it's the mental consciousness that we all possess the fact that the mental consciousness is not truly established is the natural Buddha nature. Because if you have that, then everyone has this Buddha potential. Everyone. So if you have that, you have that Buddha potential. So you have a mental consciousness,
It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, right? If you have that mental consciousness, you have. So it doesn't matter higher or lower realms. Niedru. The lower realms or higher realms. I just want to make sure I was translating it right. It doesn't matter if you're in the lower realms or higher realms. All of them have this Buddha potential or nature. Now, each individual, whether male or female, has their own obstacles. So an individual in the hell realm has those heavy obstacles that they personally have. So each individual has obstacles, and everyone's karma is different, you know? So we just have to work with who we are and do the best we can to get rid of what we know we need to get rid of. Because we're the only ones who know that. And Buddha. Buddha's not talking. Anyone else before we do concluding prayers?
Karen has a question.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Rinpoche. I have a question. In my job, I have a lot of clients that I've known for many years, and a lot of them are suffering, and I feel as though I feel that it's more than empathy. I almost take on their pain for them. I don't know if it's because I've known them so long. Is that helping them, or is it just hurting me?
Rinpoche, at your work, correct?
Yes.
So Rinpoche said that I asked him, you know, is it good, you know, if it's causing you suffering to continue to engage and to continue, I use the word help, and I said, what can you do? If it's causing you suffering, it's causing you pain. It's almost like you go to help someone because they're suffering and now you're both suffering. Is that beneficial? So Rinpoche first said, meditating on patience is very important. So he didn't just said patience, zupagom. And then he said that, I said, so should she keep doing this, you know? And he said, helping is good. To continue to be of service is good. You know, we would need obviously a lot more details and spend time to, you know, look. But that's the advice, is to meditate on patience. And patience isn't just about external. We have to look at patience with ourselves and our spiritual development. Because if we aren't, then we're grasping at it, right? Right. Like when you see the bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of prajnaparamita. That's saying they're not grasping at any of it, and that's why they're abiding. But it's a process that, you know, of kind of untangling all of these things. And we have to have patience with ourselves because there's a lot to untangle. And everything we experience is our karma, you know. Not that they're not suffering, but they're there because of our karma. Doesn't mean that we have to do something about it, but we have to recognize the reality of the situation is that there's a dependent origination happening and karma at work. And how can I get out of cyclic existence and become a Buddha through this?
circumstance. And that's what we're trying to do as Buddhists, is to use every moment of our life to get closer to enlightenment. I fail miserably at it regularly, but the less we fail at it, the better off we're going to be, you know?
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Rinpoche,
great. You both look very good.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got some stuff dialed in. Rinpoche is feeling well. We'll do the concluding prayers now if there's no more questions. And then before everybody gets off, if we could just, we'll stop recording. I just want to mention a couple things. Wouldn't you say that's best to stop recording? Okay, thank you. So we will do the concluding mandal offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozandrapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche, Gutsi Shapi Denrona. Okay, so thank you, everybody. Can you just put that on gallery view for me so I can...